This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company whose mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Our blend includes the most abundant protein found in breast milk, alpha-lac, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum, along with broken down, partially hydrolyzed proteins. ByHeart is an easy-to-digest formula. In addition to its patented protein blend, our formula includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. ByHeart is the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with the code PARENTING for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Your Village Podcast, Parenting Beyond Discipline, the place to learn about all things parenting and get your questions answered. I'm your host, Erin Royer-Azralant. Today, I'm sharing about a great philosophy in parenting, positive discipline. Because positive discipline is so much more than just a set of tools or a method of discipline. It's really a whole mindset about how we approach parenting and interacting with our child or children. If you listened to last week's episode, you hopefully remember my story about feeling like I was adrift in the middle of an ocean in a small canoe with no oars. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, it is a great precursor to this one, so I highly recommend listening to that one first. Episode 22, What Parenting Style Are You? But to share a little more about that story, I was raised with the use of a lot of punitive discipline. I always knew I wasn't going to go that route and wanted something different for my family. So before I had kids, I watched a lot of Super Nanny, among other things. If you've ever watched that show, and it's pretty old now, but her go-to when the rubber hit the road was always the naughty chair or the naughty step, basically a timeout. So I started using this. But after a short while, I could see it wasn't working, at best. And at worst, I felt like it was damaging my relationship with my son. Now, he was only 2 at the time, but it definitely was not working for us. I knew I needed to find some better techniques. But while I was in the process of researching and learning, I did not have many tools for discipline at my disposal, and it was a scary place to be. I didn't want my son getting away with behavior I found unacceptable, and also didn't want to damage our relationship. But when all you've ever known to use, when push comes to shove, is something punitive, and then you start to give that up, you feel pretty powerless, and just like I did, adrift in a sea without direction. I also was in graduate school at that time, but hadn't had any classes in child development as of yet. But obviously, after doing all of my research and getting into the child development classes, I figured out and learned that positive discipline is the key. If you listened to last week's episode, you remember I discussed parenting style. Positive discipline falls into the democratic or authoritative parenting style. The outcomes are overwhelmingly positive. Children feel loved and respected. Children are more cooperative. They exhibit the highest levels of cognitive development, rank the highest academically, have stronger self-esteem, are achievement-oriented with higher levels of internal motivation and problem-solving skills, exhibit the highest levels of social development, empathy, and other social-emotional skills. Kids from these backgrounds are the most likely to display initiative and even become entrepreneurs. Positive discipline also fosters positive relationships and communication between parent and child. And children raised in these homes are more influenced by their parents. Research also shows that as adults, they tend to be independent, self-controlled, and successful in the relationships. The democratic parenting style is the most effective in producing well-adjusted, responsible, and happy children and adults. But research has also shown that only 10 to 12% of parents fall into this style consistently. So I will get to some great guidelines as well as some specifics in just a few minutes. But first, I want to take a moment to discuss punishment. So as I also talked about last week, discipline comes from the Latin word disciplina, which means to teach and to guide. It has nothing to do with punishment. But many people have been led to believe that punishment is a way of teaching, that it does work. While it may work in the short term, the long-term outcomes are overwhelmingly negative. How do people learn? They learn through engagement, through respect, through connection. That's how we really learn, how we make lasting internal changes. When I was in graduate school and learning about how to become a therapist, my advisor and professor often shared that the healing and change that takes place through a therapeutic relationship is all about the relationship. I heard this phrase so many times throughout graduate school, but it's true and it bears repeating. It's all about the relationship. It's not just true for therapist-patient relationship, but any relationship. What more important relationship is there than parent and child? A parent's influence is also all about the relationship. So we want to keep that bond strong. It doesn't mean we will never make our kids mad or they will love every decision we make, but it's how we deliver the messages and how we wield our power. Again, I keep saying this, but if you haven't listened to last week's episode, try to get back and do so, because I share an experience I had with my oldest son just a few weeks ago where he wasn't happy with a boundary that we had set down as his parents. I explained how I was able to set this boundary with love and respect. I didn't let him bowl me over and take the boundary away to appease him or keep him from getting upset. But I also didn't put my foot down so hard and exclaim, "Because I'm the adult and I said so," which would have led to resentment. I used positive discipline, which is kind yet firm. I was kind in my explanation and allowing him to feel upset, but I was firm with the boundary. Positive discipline is all about maintaining this balance as much as possible. This doesn't mean I've never said because I said so. I have said that a handful of times, like everyone else has, and we all move between the parenting styles. Sometimes I'm a little too lenient, and sometimes I'm a little too strict, but a majority of the time I fall in this democratic style and use positive discipline, and that's the goal, to stay in that realm as much as possible. So I got off on a little bit of a tangent there, so I want to get back to punishment and how that actually works. So first, I want to share a little bit about Kohlberg's stages of moral development. This theory states that moral reasoning, the basis for all ethical behavior, has 6 identifiable developmental stages. Each one is more adequate at responding to moral dilemmas than the previous stage. Now, I'm just going to talk about the first stage here, and technically this is the lowest of the moral development. And this is obedience and punishment driven. This is a morality based on fear of punishment. What can one do to avoid punishment? This is the level of moral development that punishment serves. And we don't want our kids doing the right thing because they don't like the consequences. Because as they gain more freedom, then what will guide their moral compass? They will be prone to do things we don't approve of when they think they won't get caught. They will get sneaky. So positive discipline teaches about five negative outcomes of punishment. The first one is resentment. When kids are punished, they can harbor resentment. That breaks down the relationship. It can lead to revenge. I'll get even. Next time I'll show them. This becomes an escalating and never-ending cycle. Kids get revenge, the punishment gets more severe. It becomes a big power struggle. The third is rebellion, and we see a lot of this coming into play in those tween and teen years. Kids get physically bigger, and the punishments that used to work when they were smaller, withholding privileges, grounding, they get less effective very quickly. And the next negative outcome to punishment is the sneakiness that I mentioned earlier. They think, I'll still do what I want, but I'll just be more careful and not get caught next time. And lastly, it damages self-esteem. And I'm going to add a sixth outcome that I've already alluded to, but it breaks down the relationship between parent and child. So for something that seems so effective in the short term, it has a lot of negatives in the long term. So let's talk about goals, our goals in raising our kids. Now, I obviously cannot speak for everyone, but I think most parents would agree that our goals are to raise caring, kind, compassionate, ambitious, cooperative, happy kids who reach their own individual potential and who have developed a strong sense of justice, an internal moral compass, not one based out of fear of punishment. Now, you may have your own adjectives you'd like to add to your description, and that's great. But regardless, it's a tall order and a big job. Research shows the most effective way to raise these happy, successful kids is with this democratic parenting style, which means using positive discipline. So I've already talked about kind and firm. So how do we do that? Positive discipline offers lots of different tools for doing this, and I use all the different tools depending on the situation, which child, and the age of my children. These tools will change as children age.
As an adult and a mom of a son, both with ADHD, I know navigating the expectations of life with ADHD can be a challenge, but finding the right care and proper tools needed to succeed can be life-changing. With the right resources, you can turn your ADHD into your superpower. Done is an online ADHD care platform that can get you all the resources you need to help manage your ADHD, online visits, refills, and a 24/7 care team made for you. Starting to take care of your ADHD is as easy as 1, taking a 1-minute free assessment to see if Done can help. 2, booking an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as today or tomorrow. 3, start receiving ongoing care, enjoy online visits, personalized treatment plan, worry-free refills, and 24/7 care. Take a free 1-minute assessment and book an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as the next day. Get continuous care, insurance coverage, and 24/7 care team support with Done for just $79 a month and pharmacy copays as low as $0. Unlock your path to better focus now at get.donefirst.com/podcast. Done. Turn your ADHD into your strength. These later years of childhood have been flying by. As a mom, I want to not just be available to my kids during these last years they have at home, but I want to feel good and have the energy I need to keep up with their schedule and my own. So my health is a top priority. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. You're not alone on your wellness journey. Every customer gets one-on-one support to help you meet your goals. EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense is a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. A healthy gut positively impacts immunity, mental health, sleep, digestion, and skin health. It helps regulate digestion, immunity against bad bacteria, and improve nutrient absorption. The gut has been called the second brain because it contains more than 100 million nerve cells. It is a vitally important piece to our overall health, both physical and mental. So to make sure my gut is working at its potential, I started taking EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense to improve my digestion and nutrition absorption, boost my overall immune health, and help with sleep and stress as a bonus. Head to myeq.com and use code PARENTING for 15% off Equilibria's Microbiome Defense and much more. That's myeq.com and use code PARENTING at checkout for 15% off site-wide today.
The democratic style means freedom with order. It means choices within limits. I love the analogy of comparing parenting to flying a kite. If we hold the string too tightly, our kids never learn how to fly. If we let the string out too fast, they crash and burn. This is where parenting is more art than science, right? Every kid is different. They are different about different experiences. Each kid needs a different level of guidance in different areas. So we parents have a big job figuring out the sweet spots of each kid in each area. When we see our kite or our kid starting to dip too fast, we have to tighten that string. When we see the string is really taut and they're pulling, showing their ability to go higher, we need to let it out. We are never always going to make the best and perfect decision every time. So we also need to cut ourselves some slack on that area. But we learn. What's so beautiful about positive discipline is that we give our children a voice to share their frustrations and their desires in appropriate ways so that we can take that into account in our decisions. We can change our minds or let the string out more based on their feedback, strengthening that relationship even more. This, of course, is discourse that takes place more commonly and more frequently as they age into elementary school years and beyond. But allowing them to have a voice and then saying yes or no based on that is a practice that can start pretty early. So what are some ways you can start to use positive discipline right now? One of the most common, basic, and flexible tools that is great from toddlerhood, starting about 18 months all the way up through 10, is choices. Especially with little ones, offer choices all day long. It gives them that feeling of autonomy that they crave so much. And because they get it, they are much more cooperative overall when you just need them to go with the flow. And choices change with age. So early on, starting around 18 months, offer choices as much as possible. The choices need to be very concrete and limited to two, such as banana or strawberries, doggy or teddy bear, pants or shorts. This is great practice. It gives them control, builds cooperation, and increases the likelihood they will comply when they don't have a choice. Offer choices all day long, from wake up to bedtime. By three, most kids want to do everything for themselves. As my daughter was saying even before turning two, me do it. Continue offering all the choices from before, sticking with only two, but now you can add, do you want to do it by yourself or with my help? Kids this age will usually choose to try to do the task by themselves. By 5 to 6, kids are looking for more freedom over jobs they can do and how they can help. So rather than assigning a job, give them a list of age-appropriate chores and let them choose. Kids this age are also looking for more freedom over scheduling, such as when and where they do their homework, as well as over their environment, like how they want to decorate their rooms. In our house, we have a chore chart. Each chore has a value or payment attached. Now, this is in addition to jobs they do, just as being contributing members of the family, but they also have paid jobs. Our oldest, now 7, chooses which chores he will do throughout the week. And I implemented this because he would balk every time it was time to do a job that he got tired of doing. He would do the windows for a few weeks with excitement, and then once the novelty wore off, it was a struggle. So this gives him not only a choice about what to do, but when to do it, so long as it gets done by the end of the week. Now he happily does his chores weekly because he has autonomy. He feels respected and enjoys the feeling of responsibility. For more details on guidelines of exactly how to implement this, you can see the class on chores and allowance on the website, yourvillageonline.com. And by 7 to 9, kids are really looking for more physical independence. So you could say things like, do you want to sit 3 or 4 rows in front of us at the movies? Where do you want to do your homework? In the dining room, the kitchen table, or in your room? Also in the positive discipline classes on the website, I like to share all the pitfalls and also what I call the little genius tactics, which are those things that most kids will do to try to get around the boundaries and rules we're putting in place. So I'm going to share these, starting with the pitfalls. The pitfalls are those things that parents do that can undermine the effectiveness of a technique. The first pitfall is offering a second set of choices after the child refuses the first. So it might go something like this. Do you want toast or oatmeal? No. Then do you want cereal or yogurt? No. Well, then how about a bagel or a waffle? Stick with the first set of choices. I am offering toast or oatmeal today. Let me know when you decide. The second pitfall is using a forced choice. A forced choice is offering one positive and one negative choice, and it might sound like this. You can clean up now, or I will put the blocks in the garage for the next week. Which one do you want? This is a setup, and it's manipulative because no one wants the negative choice. So there's really no choice at all. So be sure to use 2 positives. You can say, are you going to clean up now or in 5 minutes? Do you want to clean up the blocks or the trains first? If your child does not choose or follow through, then you can follow up with a consequence. Consequences are not manipulative because they are set up differently. They're set up as a given rather than a choice. If you do not clean up right now, I will put the blocks away for the next 2 days. Now for kids 4 and under, 1-2-3 magic is a great tool to use as a way to get kids moving with a deadline, because many times they will push and push that deadline. For kids 4 and under, 1-2-3 magic is also a great tool to use as a way to get kids moving with a deadline. Now there's a very specific way to use this tool, as well as several pitfalls and genius tactics that are common to that tool as well. So I highly recommend watching that class to learn how to use that tool well, if it sounds like something that sounds good to you. It's also covered in the Discipline Tools for Toddlers and the Discipline Tools for Preschoolers class, along with the 15 other discipline tools. Now, for our little genius tactics for choices. Remember, these are the ways our kids will sometimes try to undermine our efforts. And these are very common. The first tactic is when your child changes his mind after the fact. It goes like this. Do you want toast or oatmeal? Oatmeal. As soon as you place the oatmeal in front of him, he protests. I want toast. Your child does not consciously understand what he's doing, but he's trying to gain power. If he gets you to make that second meal, it tips the power scale strongly in the favor of your child. So let your child know he needs to stick with his first choice. You chose oatmeal, so this is what you have for today. Tomorrow, you can choose toast. If your child gets upset, you can use your empathy skills. I see you're upset because you changed your mind. Let your child share his feelings. If he continues to ask for toast again, you can remind him, you chose oatmeal. Today, we're going to stick with oatmeal. After a few times, your child will learn that game does not work and to put more thought into the initial choice. Now, this is a great example of how giving a choice could turn into a power struggle if the parent comes down to the child's level. But by staying firm, yet calm and kind, the power struggle is completely avoided. If power struggles are an area of concern, you can see the power struggles class on the website for all the ways to avoid falling into power struggles with children of any age. If your child is changing his or her mind often after the fact, then you want to start using clarification after he or she chooses. I heard you say oatmeal. Is that what you want? Yes. Okay, I'm going to make oatmeal and you need to stick with this choice. I am not going to make anything else. Do you understand? Now, the next tactic is when your child is taking too long to choose. In this case, you can give a warning. This is taking too long. We need to get going. You can choose, or I will need to choose for you this time. You can also implement the 1-2-3 magic here if needed to give your child that concrete deadline. Make sure to give this warning. Otherwise, you just offered some power and then took it away before he had a chance to use it. You don't want to say something like, "That took too long. Here's your toast." Then you're headed straight for Meltdown City. So be sure to give that warning and give them the opportunity before making the choice for them. The last genius tactic is when your child takes the secret third option, something not on the list. Do you want to take horse or sock monkey? Dinosaur. If the alternate choice meets your goal, you can say yes and give your reason. Sure, you can take dinosaur. He's another soft animal to cuddle with at nap time today. This is your child's way of letting you know she's ready for more decision making. This way, you're making room for some flexibility by allowing her to move to that next level. If, however, the third choice does not meet your goal, then say no and give your reason. "I'm sorry, we can't take Bunny. He's too small and could get lost at school. He's safer here at home." And then you can offer the initial choice again. Do you want to take horse or sock monkey? Or my personal favorite that my oldest loved doing was asking for something outrageous given the first set of choices. I would say something like, "Do you want carrots or apples for snack?" "Ice cream." So I would have to say, "That's not a healthy choice. If you want a snack, you can have carrot sticks or an apple." Now, the class on choices covers some more details, like the other benefits for children's development, as well as the vast options available in using choices. And choices are also covered in detail, as I mentioned, in all three discipline tools classes: discipline tools for toddlers, preschoolers, and elementary age kids. Like last week, the promo code GOODKIDS, GOODKIDS, can be used for 20% off of any of the discipline classes on the site, as well as the monthly membership options. For more positive discipline tools, be sure to check out the discipline tab at yourvillageonline.com. Now, we're taking our family summer vacation over the next couple of weeks. The podcast has been growing quickly, and therefore I've been getting quite a few questions lately that I haven't been able to fit into the podcast episodes, including a great one for today's episode that I really hoped I would have time to answer. So instead, I'm going to have a Q&A session for next week's episode and try to get through as many of these questions as possible. So this way, the podcast will not only have only a one-week hiatus, but these awesome parents can get answers to their questions, and all of my other great listeners can learn from them as well. If you have a question, please be sure to send it to podcast@yourvillageonline.com. And if I continue getting an abundance of questions, I will do more Q&A sessions in between episodes to answer any parenting questions that come in. As always, if you like what you're hearing, I'd love a review on iTunes. If there's a topic you'd like to hear or something you think we can do better, please send us your feedback at podcast@yourvillageonline.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.